Alrighty, we are ready to roll. I'm going to share the screen with you so we are able to look on together. So we're in Parshas Vayigash. I was confused for a moment. I gave a class earlier today and I was like, oh yeah, like in Parshat Miketz. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, it's Vayigash. Okay, so goes time in the age of Corona. But here we are. Right? Yosef reveals himself. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Yosef reveals himself after Yehuda gives a sob story about his father, the broken down old man who's, I don't know what he's going to do with himself. If Benjamin isn't returned home to his father, what's going to be? What's going to happen? And finally, and it's interesting, Rabbi Simcha Willig, a friend of ours, and mine told me that last Shabbos in his minyan in Teaneck, he gave a sermon about Yosef, how Yosef is the biggest crier in the Torah. I don't find anyone who cries more than Yosef, right? And you see throughout Parshat Miketz, he's crying, he hides himself, he pulls himself together, restrains himself, then he's crying again. And here we are in Parsha Vayigash, and he can't take it anymore. Can't take it. He can't keep up the charade. It's just eating away at him. And finally, after the impassioned plea of Yehuda, who we know Yehuda was the mastermind of his sale, and to see now Yehuda stand up for Benjamin, for Binyamin, thinking about not only Binyamin, thinking about their father, reckoning with his past of what he did to that other brother, Yosef. Finally, v'lo yachol Yosef lehitapek lecholam tzavim alav. Joseph could no longer control himself. For all of the, in front of everyone around him, v'yikra hotziu chol ish me'alayin, and he calls out in his, commanding leader voice, and he says, everyone, leave me now. V'lo amad ish ito b'itfada Yosef el achav, and no one stood before him as at the time that Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, the emotional denouement of the story. V'yitenu kol et kolo b'vchi, and he started crying. As we said, he's a crier. I don't mind criers. I think tears, I think, are a show of strength. That's my opinion. I believe that we cry out of strength sometimes, not out of a vulnerability. Vayishmu Mitzrayim, and Egypt even saw, or heard, excuse me. Vayishma Beit Paro, and the house of Pharaoh heard about what was happening, what was going on. Vayomer Yosef el Achav, Ani Yosef, and Joseph called out to his brothers, and he said, I am Joseph. Ha'od Avi Chai. Is my father still alive? V'lo yachlu echav la'anot oto kiniv halu mipanav. And the brothers could not answer him. According to in the Sefaria translation, they were dumbfounded. But really, niv halu mipanav doesn't just mean dumbfounded. They were terrified. They were terrified. Oh my God, what is Yosef going to do to us? I can't believe it. It's true. It all like sort of all everything comes rushing back, and they realize, oh my God, we're done for, right? Or at least that's perhaps what they're thinking. So the famous question that the Kliyakar asks, really a question on everyone's mind here, is what does it mean when it says Ha'od Avichai? What does he mean? What do you mean? Is my father still alive? You just heard. Of course, father's still alive. Yehuda was just talking about him and saying, my father's gonna, he's gonna be so upset. He's gonna be devastated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What is happening when it says Ha'od Avichai? What else is what's odd about the grammar, the phraseology here of Ha'od Avichai? What's odd here? So it's Ha'od Avichai. What should it say? You should have quoted Rav Shlomo Karlach, Od Avinu Chai. right? It should say, Ha'od Avinu Chai, is our father still alive? Why does it say, is my father still alive? That's odd, right? Ha'od Avi Chai. So there's a lot of different answers that people give. Some people say, you know, Ha'od Avi Chai is the father. I get it that he's alive, but is the father that I knew still alive, right? Is the father that, you know, that was, you know, that I left behind? Is he still in his vigor? Is he, has he lost his step, right? Ha'od Avi Chai. That's one idea. Another idea is, Ha'od Avi Chai. I can't believe, almost as a rhetorical question, I can't believe that dad is still alive after all you put him through. Like, that's a fraskin punim, if there's any, right? I can't believe you're saying how depressed he is, how despondent he'd be if he loses Binyamin, how upset he was losing Yosef. Ha'od Avi Chai, really? How could you do such a thing, right? It's more of like a Musar Shmuz, Ha'od Avi Chai, that idea. But there's another formulation, another answer to this, you know, to this peculiarity, and that is Ha'od Avi Chai. Is my father still alive? Because you know what? He's my father, not yours. You wronged him so terribly that you've, you know, lost your rights. You've relinquished your status on some level as being loyal children after doing this to him. And by the way, covering it up and lying to him for the past 22 years. Unbelievable, right? Sorry. Interesting. So, meaning what Alan's saying is he's asking them a question and saying, hey, did you stamp out my memory in dad's eyes, or am I still the beloved son? That's really nice. It's heart-wrenchingly nice, but yeah, that's a fascinating rendering. Right? Am I still here? Do I, like, yeah. Very nice. Very nice. So let's see what the Kli Yakar says. So Kli Yakar, of course, he asks this question and he has an answer. Ha'od Avi Chai on the right hand side. Afal Pisha Kvar Amrulo Shehu Chai Kamuvan Mikol Divrei Yehuda. Again, he asked the question. He knew he was alive. What do you mean Yehuda was just talking about him the whole time? Mikol Makom Chashav Yosef Ulai Amru Kain. Now, I think what the Kli Yakar is saying is he's looking at his brothers, Yosef, and saying, yeah, I don't remember you guys as having the greatest, street credibility in terms of, you know, your ability to tell the truth. You're manipulators. Look at what you did. Look at what you did for all these years. Look what you did to me. Are you telling the truth here? Is dad still alive? Meaning, hey guys, cut the baloney. Is dad still alive? Right? It's very nice that you said that he's alive and he'll be all sad. And yeah, you told me the old man sob story. Now, I'm Yosef. I'm not the ruler of Egypt anymore. What's the deal? Is dad still alive or not? Right? What you see here, and what he's going to continue along this theme, is Yosef carrying over an image of his brothers and how they treated him. And again, Yosef was no angel back then either. But, you know, they took all of this to a whole new level, right? In selling him, wanting to kill him, throwing him into the pit, the whole 9 yards. And essentially saying, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. And that's really what's happening. Yeah, fine. Oh, if I tell them the sob story about the old man, maybe the ruler of Egypt will have mercy and he won't kill us. Therefore, he said, okay, jig is up. I'm Yosef. Is he alive or not? Ulevavam lo ken yedameh. V'chashvu shelo niskavin l'shol imu chay o lo. Ela shebala hazkir abonam. And the brothers, in the very same way, right? As much as right, we look at this as it's reconciliation, and it's so easy. You know what? Chevra, life isn't easy. And life isn't clear cut. And life is a lot of black, a lot of gray, and it's not black and white. Oh, Grandma Yosef, don't worry, it's cool, I love you. No. Yosef comes at them and says, all right, guys, I know you're a bunch of lying thieves. What's the story? Is Dad still alive or not? Maybe you were making this up. And in their minds, they remember Yosef in the very same way as the, I don't want to use words, for lack of a better term, Lahavdil, the snot-nosed kid who's telling on them, who likes to rub things in their face and, hey, guys, you hear about the dream I had, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Think about this. You haven't seen in 22 years. What's your image of that person? Your image of that person is what you remember 22 years ago. And you're like, yeah, I don't think he's asking if he's still alive. I think he knows he's still alive. I don't think that's what's going on. I think he wants to rub it in our faces. Shabala has kiravonam. He wanted to bring up and say, hey, remember what you did to me? Alkein amar ha'od avichai, saying, lo marsha aviv hu, velo avichem, ki lo chastem al tzaro. Ha'od avichai, you guys are a bunch of bums. Look at what you did. Again, this is the way they understood it initially. This is not what Yosef said. This is the way they took it. Right? Taking their relationship from 22 years ago, and all of a sudden, as if nothing happened in those subsequent 22 years, and now you're just like, oh, okay, oh, we were here, now we're there. Oh, man. You know, yes. Oh, you got, he's my father. Not your father. You guys are bad. You guys are terrible. You didn't care about your brother, your father. Kilu Einu Avichem, you treated him like a jerk, like a two-bit nothing, as if he's not your father. He's my father. Al Cain, Nivhalu velo yachlu la'anot avar. Therefore, they were, again, they say dumbfounded. I say they were just terrified. And they couldn't answer. Because in their minds, all Yosef is saying is, he's my father. You committed the most horrible, egregious crime ever. And I'm going to kill you now. It's amazing, right? Oh, yay! Yosef! No. Not yet. The O Tamacher ala Behalazu, and another reason for this fear, this trembling, this being dumbfounded, not being able to answer. Lithisha Amar Ani Yosef, Veloiz Kir Achichem. He didn't say Achichem. He didn't say, I am Joseph, your brother. He just said, I am Joseph. In essence, saying, yeah, you've relinquished, our brotherhood, right? You've abdicated our brotherhood. We're no longer brothers. I'm just this guy named Yosef. And they're terrified from that. Okay. Alkeni v'halu, nechpazu sham re'ada achazatam. They're terrified. Ki amru peni v'akesh liyot oyev mitnakem. He wants to kill us. It's very interesting, very similar to how Yaakov and Esav, think of the symmetry here, when Yaakov and Esav return and they have their reconciliation and they meet each other for the first time. So there's this that where it says when Yaakov sends Malachim, he says, I could be your ach, I could be Yaakov, your brother, or I could just be Yaakov, right? Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. He's scared when Jacob davens before he's about to meet Esav. He says, either he could be my brother and maybe I'll be okay that way, or that's also scary, or maybe he's going to be Esav. He's going to be an enemy. Right? And it's the same exact thing happening here. Oh, ani Yosef. I'm not Yosef achichem. So they're scared. V'yisiyat atzmo mina achva. That he sort of abdicated the fraternal relationship that they should have. Your brothers, right? Oh, okay. Brothers do terrible things to each other, but they're, ultimately you know, blood, what do they say? Blood is thicker than water, right? Whatever, we'll figure it out. Whatever it is. You may hate me. You may resent me. We may have trouble. But whatever, we're still relatives on some level. Kasher asu heimalo sheisu asatzmo min achva. That maybe just as they pushed him away and basically said, you're not my brother anymore. They sold him. So too, he's doing that now to them. Kamosh pirsh rashi, pasuk nasu mizeh. Alkein amar lahem shenis. Therefore, so they can't answer, right? They're terrified. Oh my God, I'm Yosef? Oh, whoa, you're really Yosef and you're the ruler of Egypt. Oh, we're goners for sure. And then the very next pasuk, look at what it says, right here on the left. Vayomer Yosef elachav, gishu na elai, vayigashu, vayomer ani Yosef achichem, asher mechartim otim mitzrayma. That's why he pulls them closer, right? Because they're dumbfounded, they can't speak. And he pulls them closer, and he says, guys, I'm your brother. I'm Yosef, your brother. Remember, you sold me. I'm here. It's me, but we're still brothers. You might have thrown me out to the curb and you know, cut off our fraternal bond. I'm not saying that. We're brothers, and I haven't forgotten you. Okay? Athalpi. So that go back into the Kliyakar. Athalpi shalafachos hayelachem limkor oti le'ezo. Uma acheret she'enan shtufei zima kolkach. Listen, even though it would have been better had you chosen a different, at least it would have been better if you chose a different nation to sell me to, because you know these guys are no good. Egypt, they're filled with we call shtufei zima. They're filled with immoral behavior. They're a very decadent culture. And that made it doubly hard. At least you could have sold me, I don't know, to some Ishmaelites, you know, they, I don't know, whatever, right? Sold me somewhere else. Egypt, it made it doubly bad. Mikom makom, achichem ani, I'm your brother. Val yichar beinechem asher mechartim oti hein al mitzrayim, kil mechiyash lachani Elohim. And so therefore, don't be angry at yourselves. Don't beat yourselves up that you sold me here. It happened for a reason. Ki roe ani, I see now, sheni galgela davar shabati bein shtufei zima v'kara li mikra be'ishes potifar. I understand now why specifically you sold me to Egyptians, where really I just would have been, you know, I was ripe for the taking to be ravaged. You know, Yosef's a really good-looking kid. He's 17 years old. What happens to good-looking 17-year-old boys? You could, you know, imagine what they say in the movies or in the belt, you know, about a good looking such and such a boy that goes, to a prison or whatever, right? I mean, it's not going to be good for me in Egypt, right? But it all happened for a reason, because now what happened, the Eshet Potiphar situation happened, right? And she tried to seduce me and I was able to control myself. And through that, I went to prison and I ended up becoming the savior of all of Egypt and eventually of you. As I said, Misham Roa Evan Israel, and that's how I became the shepherd, the leader of Israel. I was able to control myself, to withstand a great temptation, and I became a leader. I became a leader, right? And that helped me cultivate leadership skills. And we know the story. We know what happened. Kolabale shesit shesopim vakesh kikar lechem. If I wasn't there amongst people who were of this decadent, sexually immoral culture, they would have found someone else, right? Again, all of this happened for a reason. You know, I never understood this Kliyag, and I think I fully understand it now. What he's saying is like this. What is, you know, the fact that they're a decadent, you know, immoral, sexually immoral culture, and he was able to withstand that. What, how does that make him the guy who's going to lead them through famine? I think here was what it's saying. So look at the Gemara and Sota that he quotes. Kolabal ishes ish lasopen vakish kikar lechem. That a person who commits, God forbid, commits adultery, eventually will be, you know, will be begging for a loaf of bread, or even maybe stealing a loaf of bread, right? Why? The idea being that at a certain point, right, if you don't respect certain laws, rules, etc., right? Even the smallest thing, right? The biggest thing, adultery, right? Personal space and sanctity of relationships. Well, you're not going to respect personal property. You're going to steal, right? So someone who's able, like Yosef, who was able to develop himself in such a way whereby he could withstand pressures, right? Think Bernie Madoff. Think, you know, these guys that do these things that, you know, whatever. It's very difficult. No question. They're very difficult temptations. And, you know, you go ahead and you do it. But ultimately, right, that means it's going to be your downfall. He said, I was able to develop myself as a leader. And they were able to see me in Egypt as someone who, you know what? I'm not going to put my hand in the cookie jar. I could have. Look at that. I could have with Ashes Potiphar. I didn't. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to steal the wheat, the grain of the Egyptians. I can be trusted. Right. And because it happened in this kind of way, you sold me to Egypt. And even though there's all this garbage, these shenanigans that could have happened to me, you know, in jail, so to speak, that ended up becoming a mechia, a salvation, for everyone. So there's something good about it. Yeah. Now. Yeah, 100%. That's Pashup Shot. No question. That's the plain meaning of the text. I totally agree with you. There's drush here, for sure. And I'll prove to you, Alan, and having Zvi, the Kliyakar, talks about this. But the proof is, if you look at Pasuk Dalid, all right, 4, Vayomer Yosef Elach, Gishu Na Eli, come closer. And they come closer. What happened? Rashi says, so Pashup Shach, yeah, come, take a real look. Oh, I had a beard? Okay, you look a little further, you could see something. It's like when we see someone in a mask, right? You see them for a minute, you're like, eh. Then you get a little closer, like, oh yeah, it's you, right? So yes, Gishuna, even more intimately, Rashi says, Gishuna Eli Vayigash, Gishuna Eli, he pulls them close, he opens up his cloak, and he shows them that he's Mahul. He says, look, I have a bris. Guys, I'm one of you. I'm Yosef. You sold to Egypt, right? He takes it. He really brings it down to earth and says, there's no way, right? There's no way that anyone, you know, would have this, right? What I have right now. And he makes it even clearer to them. So 100%, there's a lot of truth to that. So I'll just give you just outside. The Kliyakar continues, and he said, really, again, a beautiful idea, beautiful drush, and that is that what it's alluding to also in Yosef saying the things he was saying is the Medrash, this famous Medrash about the Jewish people in Egypt, how they were zoche to redemption, because they didn't change. There are certain things about themselves that they didn't change. They didn't change their names, right? They didn't change their language. And another idea is they didn't change their begadam, their clothing. Okay? So now look back at the psukim. And what the Kliyak is going to point out is, yes, he was Yosef, the ruler of Egypt, the viceroy of Egypt. He looks Egyptian. He's dressed Egyptian, quote unquote. But Yosef is saying, guys, it's still me. And that's why he says it again. Vayomer Elochav, ani Yosef, right? They couldn't answer. Vayomer Elochav, Ani Yosef Achichem, it's me, right? They don't believe him and so on. And he's saying, and it's not just it's me, but it's still me. How? Number one, Ani Yosef. What's his real name? What's his name in Egypt? That's not his name. His name is Tzafnat Paneach. Tzafnat Paneach, right? The revealer of the hidden. He has an Egyptian name. He says, no, guys, it's me, Yosef. I'm not Tzafnat Paneach. Lo shinu et lishonam. Lo shinu et shmam, right? They didn't change, their names. He says, Gishu na Eli. And he shows them his Brit Milah. Lo shinu et Malbusham. This is who I am. I'm a Jew. I'm not changing this. And Matt, right? You could think back to the stories you hear. I'll never forget. What an amazing movie. The story of, was it Solomon Peril, I think was his name. It was called Europa, Europa. I'm sure you saw it. An amazing movie and a German movie and with English subtitles. About this young man who was hiding, in Nazi occupied Germany, and he had false papers and so on. And the major thing that was always sort of the revealing factor of his Jewishness as he's a boy, he goes to school, he's a teenage boy in like a German school, was at shower time, where he's terrified that people are gonna see his Brit Milah. And there's a scene I remember where he's trying to pull it over, he's trying to cover it, right? Because, you know, it's scary for good reason, right? That they see who would have such a thing, right? Who would have it? So that's Loshinu. So you had Loshinu et Shmam, Loshinu et Malbusham, and what was the other one? Shmam, Lishonam, and Malbusham, right. And Lishonam, he says, is, one second. He must have put Yosef. No. He does. He's speaking in Hebrew. Where was he speaking in Hebrew? Hold on. I just want to find it for you because we're skipping ahead. One second. They didn't change. Change his name. I'm Yosef and change his language. He spoke to them. Right. The way he spoke to them was technically in Lashon Kodesh. How so? Here it is. Right. Okay. Right. He says a little bit later, here, I'll show you. Etc. Don't be scared. Don't be sad. It's good. This is the right thing. And then he says, guys, trust me. Kipi hamidaber aleichem. This is the mouth that's speaking to you. You know, you should trust me because think about what language I'm speaking to you in. Kipi hamidaber aleichem. I'm sorry, I can't find that pasuk right now, but it's there, right? That I'm literally speaking to you in Lashon Kodesh, speaking to you in Hebrew. And that's a part of who I am. That's not something that I have ever forgotten or will ever forget. And I think, you know, the lesson for us here is as follows, as we round it out. The encounter starts with Yosef being very wary of his brothers, and with the brothers being very wary right back, right? Remember Yosef saying, hey, Ha'od Avichai, really, is dad still alive? Because I figure you probably concocted the whole story because I can't trust you guys. Look what you did. Look at what the kind of people you are. And Yosef, on the other end, the brothers taking Yosef for being, a kid who's, you know, who pulls shtick and so on and so forth. And someone that also they couldn't trust as well. And then it continues and becomes much more intimate. And this, it really uses on some level what Alan was saying in the Pashup shot of, guys, come a little closer. I understand you're scared. I understand, you know, there's a lack, perhaps there's even a lack of belief and even a lack of trust. But Yosef goes back and says, you know what? And he, come closer. Look at my face. Look at, he goes even to the most foundational, you know, spot in a prayer, right, for a man. He's showing, literally showing him his Brit Milah. He says, guys, we all have this. We all had a bris, right? Remember who we are, right? Understand, Ani Yosef Achicha, I'm still your brother. And I see you as brothers. I haven't forgotten that. And I hope you won't forget that about me as well. I know what you did was horrible and terrible, but you know what? It all happened for a reason. And I want to bring this back. And he says, look, because at the end of the day, we have more in common than we do that sets us apart, right? Look, my name's still Yosef. I may look like an Egyptian prince, but my name's still Yosef. I'm still speaking Hebrew. I still dress the way I still have, you know, what you have, right, on our skin. It reminds me of something. It was a very upsetting incident a few days ago, and I'll end with this. This is happening all over, I think, all over the Jewish world. So a few days ago, last week, Aiden, Baruch Hashem, we had also, like, you know, we had the amazing news about Simon, thank God. And Aiden got into his college of choice. And we're very, very proud of him. Fred Danzig on this call. Big Yasher Koach to Fred Danzig. Thank you for an amazing job. My father, Dr. Wolfson, is on, and Fred is was Aiden and Simon's SAT tutor. And, did he ever do a job? Baruch Hashem. And so we took him out for dinner, and we went out to the city, and we sat outdoors and whatever. And you had to, like, walk, whatever, to get back outside. You had to walk through the restaurant. So I put my mask on to get through the restaurant. That's the law. That's what we do. That's the, whatever. And a yeshivish couple was walking in, okay? And they're not wearing masks. And they're getting their temperature checked. That's the protocol, whatever. So I wait on... You know, I'm like, you know, 6-7 feet away. I'm waiting. Wearing masks, whatever it is. Okay, whatever. And so I wait because I don't want to squeeze by. I don't want to give them their personal space, and then they'll go by, and then I'll walk out. Walks by me the gentleman. He's like a 20-something-year-old, whatever. And he says, he sees me in my mask. He goes, Democrats. Yeah, yeah, and. I picked my head up. I said, excuse me, buddy. Last time I checked, we're all Jews here. We're all Jews. Happy Hanukkah to you. And I walked out, obviously very upset. But that's the reality. And it's sad. You know, the way that the Geula comes is whatever division you think you have with each other, whatever stuff we have, whatever history we have, whatever it is. Okay, that's there. But let's move past that. And let's get a little bit more intimate with each other. And realize, same names, same language, same people. And if we could do that, we could follow the lead of the brothers in their reconciliation. And Mirtz Hashem, we could see Geula come to this world as well. Shikoch, everyone. Thank you for joining me. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good night, everyone. Happy Nittelnacht. He got into NYU Stern. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. V'chein yirvu, mazel and bracha all around. Thank you. Yeah. Take care, everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay.